The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a young woman engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Years ago, when my daughters were in elementary school and I was working part-time as a teaching assistant, I was recruited to be in the cast of a Christmas play that was being put on for the school community by the faculty of the school. The way I remember it, we had practiced a great deal and we were putting on our costumes before the performance and reviewing last-minute instructions that the director had for us, when it became evident that several of the cast members were experiencing a sudden onset of stage fright. They had become quite pale and were complaining of stomach aches. In particular, I noticed one of my fellow kindergarten teachers looked nearly paralyzed by fear. This was a woman I admired very much for the capable and the caring way that she looked after a class full of children all day long. My heart went out to her for the panic that she was obviously feeling at the thought of having to be in this situation of performing in front of a large audience. Her daughter, Monique, it happens, was friends with my daughter, Christina, and I quickly concluded that a profound shyness must be a family trait passed on from mother to daughter. Christina reported to me that 5-year-old Monique could talk, but I personally had never heard the child say a word. I cast around in my mind for some way of reducing my friend's stress at the moment, and so I asked, "Will your daughter be at the play tonight?" And all of a sudden, there was this transformation. "Oh, yes," said Maria Elena very firmly. "She will be here. It's for her, for my daughter, that I'm doing this." Immediately, I got the picture. The mother was calling upon all of her inner strength in order to do something that was exceedingly difficult for her, because she believed that if she, the mother, could stand up and speak before an audience, then her daughter would see that it was possible, and one day she, the daughter, would develop this capability. "I'm doing this hard thing for the sake of my daughter," was the mother's clear message. My friend's statement captures a great deal of Mary's words and attitude. Each woman was willing to participate in an event that, to say the least, was extremely uncomfortable, because she believed that a larger good was being accomplished through her action or through her active cooperation. Listen to Mary's words again. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Through Gabriel, God has laid out the plan. You're going to have a child. The child will be great. The child will be the son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary listens to this and has a question. And it's a question most of us have probably asked at one time or another in our lives. She looks at the situation. She thinks about the implications of being young, poor, single, and pregnant. And she asks, how can this be? Gabriel answers, it will happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible with God. Having conveyed the vision, Gabriel successfully reminds Mary of God's power and God's faithfulness. And that's the end of the discussion. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. With that statement, Mary joins a long line of people stretching back through history who trusted God enough to say, here I am, use me, Lord, to accomplish your purposes. In the Bible, perhaps the first was Abraham. When God called Abraham, Abraham responded, here I am, I will do what you say. When God sent an angel to Jacob in a dream and it instructed Jacob that it was time to return home, Jacob said, here I am. And he packed up all his stuff and began the journey. Moses also, when God first spoke to him out of a burning bush, answered, here I am. Although in Moses' case, it took a lot of convincing to get him to go along with God's plan. He had plenty of objections, and all of them seemed to be based on his own sense of inadequacy and his lack of ability. He begged God to send somebody else. Yet in the end, Moses too cooperated with God's intent, and he became the leader that brought his people out of slavery and into freedom. Samuel, as a young boy, first hearing God's voice while he slept, was confused because he didn't recognize the voice. Samuel was counseled by a wise elder who taught him to say, here I am. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Learning to listen to God's voice transformed Samuel into a priest and a prophet. And then there was Isaiah, who, when he first saw a vision of the heavenly realm and heard God asking for a messenger, replied without hesitation, here am I, Lord, send me. In none of these cases did God ask the person to do something easy. Every time, the way seemed unlikely and full of hardship and difficulty. But God's purposes are larger than one individual. God is trying to build a faithful people, a faithful humanity that will live according to God's justice, mercy, peace, and compassion. God calls individuals to help advance that larger purpose. And the faithful, individual, stirring reply echoes through the ages. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. If the circumstances and the events of my life, if my action or my partnership with you can advance your purposes, God, then I am willing. Let it be so. John Wesley, whose teaching and example inspired our particular form of the Christian church, which we now call the United Methodist Church, wrote a prayer in his life that reveals an astonishing willingness to be completely given over to God's plan. It's in the hymnal on page 607, if you should ever want to read it or use it. And basically it says, I'll be somebody or I'll be nobody for you, God. I'll have a full, rich life, or I'll be completely emptied out if it suits your purposes, God. I'll work hard, I'll suffer, or I will be overlooked and set aside. Whatever you want me to do, as long as it pleases you, God, I will accomplish it or endure it. The famous Saint Francis of Assisi, who lived a few hundred years before John Wesley, also wrote a prayer, also in our hymnal, this one on page 481, which begins with the words, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. In other words, it's about your plans, not mine, God. I just want to serve your purposes. These prayers and others like them, which have been preserved through the centuries, teach us that the human spiritual challenge is always the same. The challenge is to learn to trust ourselves and our lives into God's hands, to give ourselves fully, without reservation, to God's future. As we grow in faith, our challenge is to make Wesley's response or Isaiah's response or Mary's response our response as well. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. When a man named Greg had to wrestle with that challenge not so many years ago, he consulted with friends and advisors in order to help himself figure out how to shape his response. Greg was a law student at Yale University when he was asked if he would be willing to go to Cambodia to figure out how international aid agencies might be able to deliver and distribute large quantities of food. Cambodia had been through a period of terrible violence, and the goal at this point was to avoid massive starvation. Greg had some international experience. He'd been in the Peace Corps and done some other things, which had given him relevant expertise. But saying yes to this invitation would mean taking a leave of absence from law school and thus delaying his eventual graduation. It would mean going to a dangerous part of the world. And furthermore, his wife was recovering from a back injury, and she was not immediately able to travel. Greg prayed. He talked with his pastor, and he talked at length with his wife. He spent several hours of several days talking to God. And then he came to a meeting of the social ministry committee of his faith community. And he said to them, I sense that I should respond to this request for help by departing for Cambodia at once. But here's what I need. I need somebody to help my wife close up the house and help her put the things we need to keep in storage. I need somebody to help her figure out travel arrangements that are going to be manageable for her and that will allow her to come when she's well enough to join me. So he laid it all out, and within 15 minutes, each person sitting around the table had agreed to take on a specific responsibility. And so Greg's decision was confirmed. It was, in essence, here I am, Lord. I understand that you are sending me and that you, through your people, will make this possible. Several months later, Greg returned with his wife to New Haven. They brought with them a tiny baby. During a worship service, he introduced the infant to the congregation. Just before we were to leave Cambodia, Greg explained, a local doctor brought this baby to our door. She had been abandoned, and the doctor said she would die unless we accepted responsibility. Astonishingly, government officials agreed, and they gave us permission to bring her to America. We have decided to love and care for her, and I present her to you also as a gift of God to be cherished by all. Meister Eckhart, a man who delved deeply into the mysteries of life with God, once said, "We are all meant to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born. God is always needing our trust and cooperation in order that God can enter the world anew and accomplish new acts of rescue and healing, creation and salvation. God's invitation comes even to us, asking us to be open to God's messages and available for God's purposes. We, like Mary, like Greg, can say yes to God's plan when we remember the greatness, the graciousness, and the life-giving nature of God's power. When we remember all that God has done, all that God is doing, and all that God will do, it confirms for us that we can trust God. Somebody called this to my attention in the middle of the week this past week, on Wednesday, which was, as you recall, a very rainy day. And so on Wednesday night was a slightly smaller crowd than usual who braved the weather and came here to join in the meal in the social hall. And I was about to say the prayer of thanksgiving for the food and for a dry place in which to eat when a man raised his hand in the middle of the room and said, "Hey, wasn't it a year ago, right at this time, when we were in the newspaper and on the television several times because of some dispute about whether this program would continue?" He was correct. It was a year ago. And thanks be to God, the legal issues all got resolved. The ministry continues. The preparatory work for the kitchen remodel is done. And the installation on the new ventilation system will begin the day after Christmas. The power of God's Spirit is amazing. We experience it in our own lives. And so we learn that with God, nothing that God intends is impossible. And it's our joy to keep that truth always in our hearts and always in our minds. Learning to anticipate God's activity with hope and with excitement can happen in all kinds of unusual ways. It may seem like nothing could be more surprising than being visited by an angel, as Mary was. But consider what happened to a woman named Gail and an ordinary old cooking pot. This cooking pot had been amidst Gail's stuff for years when she chose to use it for an art assignment. The assignment, which she gave both to herself and to her students, was to find a simple, familiar, everyday object and to draw it 100 times. At first, Gail worked quickly, but after she had drawn the plain white enamel cooking pot about 50 times, she realized that she was going to have to get more creative. So she started carrying this pot with her wherever she went and taking pictures of it in different surroundings. And then she would bring the picture back and build some artistic renditions from the photographs. So she photographed the pot at nighttime, lit up from the headlights of her car. She photographed it next to a television. She took it next door to the neighbor's house and took a picture of it on the neighbor's stove. She even took the pot with her when she went on vacation to Italy. She photographed it by the water's edge at Piazza San Marco and underneath Michelangelo's tomb in Florence. Finally, she completed her 100 drawings. And when the project was all finished, Gail realized that she had made a discovery. She looked back at all of the pictures and realized that they all conveyed the same quality or message. The quality was one of waiting and expectation. And the message was, something is about to happen. In fact, she felt this was the attitude she was now carrying with her through life. Something wonderful is about to happen. In the end, all of these drawings of the empty pot, the pot waiting to be filled, appeared transformed into self-portraits of the artist. The exercise with the cooking pot had taught her something far beyond artistic technique. Gail concluded that she, artist and human being, was now ready to be used for God's purposes. The processes are as unique as each one of us. If God can speak to somebody through 100 drawings of an enamel cooking pot, then God can speak to any of us. Whether we're giving birth to an artistic style, a vocational decision, a new ministry, a new way of thinking, or an actual child, God can use the circumstances and the specific details of our lives to build a deeper, more trusting relationship. On the strength of that relationship, God can call us to actions and decisions that serve God's purposes. And we can learn to say, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. For the sake of what you're doing in the world, O God, let it be with me according to your word." Eternal God, here we are. And today we use St. Francis' prayer to give voice to our willingness to be used by you. Dear Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, may we bring pardon. Where there is doubt, allow us to advance faith. Where there is despair, may we be heralds of hope. Where there is darkness, allow us to bring your light. And where there is sadness, may our presence on your behalf bring joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Here we are, Lord, joining our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.